This morning's readings are from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23, followed by Exodus 34, verses 5 to 10. Moses and the glory of the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. "Lord," he said, "I have found favor in your eyes. Then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." Then the Lord said, "I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Oh, good start. I suggest you get comfortable because there's quite a lot to unpack. You'll be pleased to know I do hope to not go on all morning. So I want to add my welcome. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Karen, and it's a real privilege to be with you this morning. So over the last 9 weeks, I don't know if you've joined us or not, our sermon series has been looking at the book of Exodus, and we have been following the Israelite people as they have journeyed through the wilderness. And today is the last sermon in our Exodus series. Oh, do you know what? It has been an incredible journey. And I do encourage you, if you have missed any of the sermons, they are available online. Do try and catch up, because they have been an incredible encouragement to us as individuals, but also as a church at this time. Before I go any further, let's just take a little moment and pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you are here with us. We commit this time to you, Lord. As we pray, we seek you would open our hearts and minds, that you would have your say with us this morning. Speak as only you can, Lord. Amen. Sarah obviously read my notes, because I've got a little bit here that says, "Have you ever played that Who Am I game?" The objective is you've got a name on the card and you have to guess who the person is. And usually you can only use a yes or no answer. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you play. But if it was your name that had to be on the card, what words would you best use to describe yourself? As Sarah has already said, our theme this morning is a known God. Getting to know God is the greatest gift we are ever given. But at times it can feel hard and a challenge. Moses, throughout Exodus, has demonstrated the importance and blessing of truly knowing God. And I want to take you back for a minute to Exodus 3, where it was the burning bush, because this is the first time that God audibly speaks to Moses. Moses is in the wilderness, he's tending his sheep, he's at the top of the mountain, and there is an angel of the Lord burning in a bush. Moses is really intrigued, and he goes a little closer. And it's God noticing him going closer that gets the Lord's attention. And God calls Moses by name. Moses, you can imagine, can't you, on the top of a mountain. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid of the Lord. But over the years and throughout Exodus, we have read and seen how God has guided Moses, how he's equipped him, how he's spent time with him, how he's listened to him, how they've talked together, and the relationship has deepened. And now we find ourselves in Exodus 33, and Moses is talking to God like we do to a friend. A very different approach to the burning bush. You see, Moses is familiar with God. He knows God. And as we join today's passage, Moses is interceding for the Israelites. Interceding means praying on other people's behalf because the Lord is angry. I don't know if you were here last week, but Sarah reminded us that the Israelites had been running wild. Moses had been spending time with God, and things had got out of control. And the Israelites had disregarded God's command, and they'd built the idols. You see, this should have been getting towards the highlight part of their story. They've almost reached their destination, the promised land. The Israelites had seen God at work, he'd provided for them, he'd helped them. They'd even seen miracles with their own eyes. They'd walked through the parted Red Sea. There were clouds by day, fires by night, but they lost sight. Isaiah tells us, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turns our own way. And back to Exodus, God is threatening to wipe out the entire Israelite nation. I don't know if you're aware of that. He is cross. He wants to start again with the offspring of Moses. And Moses is desperately praying in desperate times. You see, Moses wants to obtain forgiveness for the Israelites. He is praying that God will spare them. Moses is asking for God's mercy. It seems like everything is falling apart. But here we see God truly revealing himself. Because in truth, he has a right to be a little bit angry. But verse 12 to 13 of the Message Bible, Moses says to God, let me in on your plans so that I can continue to be special. Don't forget, this is your people. This is your responsibility. Would we speak to God like that? But what follows is compassion and gentleness and God's example of forgiveness. Because God offers Moses his presence. Ooh, phew. Things seem to be resolving. Or do they? Because if we look closely at this passage, God is promising Moses his protection and his provision. However, there is a but, and it's a big one. Because of what is happening, because of what's gone on with these idols, God is telling Moses, I'm going to fulfill my promise, but I am not coming with you to the promised land. But Moses wants more. He is not content with just hearing and seeing God. He needs to know that God is personally with him. You see, Moses knows the difference between being known and knowing someone personally. And Moses bravely asks God in verse 18, can I see your glory? My Bible footnotes describe God's glory as his character. God in a specific moment showing something of the person he is himself. The Psalms tell us that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Everything we see, the sun, the oceans, the flowers, the birds, those beautiful children playing with those colours and that rainbow this morning, nothing is hidden from God's glory. But if we go back to verse 16 of our passage today, Moses boldly tells God, if you don't come with us, don't send us. You see, Moses recognizes what God has done in his life and the difference that God's presence makes in his life. Moses has learned from previous experience when he's trying to help people in his own strength, it doesn't go to plan. And the Bible makes it very clear that if we have God's glory, if it's in us, we are set apart from other people. And Moses knew this deeply. You see, if we get to experience God's glory, it means that God no longer just exists in heaven. He is here, down, dwelling with us today. And then we're reminded in the second reading. And this part of scripture is incredible because this is God telling Moses about himself. This is God's own words. I am gracious and compassionate. Grace means that we get something that we don't deserve. Slow to anger, a contradiction to how many see God. Abounding in love. It's a stubborn love. It's not going to give up. It's never going to fail. It's never going to run out. God is faithful. And in that moment, Moses falls down on his face and worships. You see, when we fall down before God on our face, it is the ultimate sign of respect. It's a symbol of submission. And one of the major displays of God's glory today is within the work of ordinary people like you and me. And we see this in our times of testimony, how God is making a difference in the lives around us. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength. He is always ready to help in times of trouble. God is often working in the background and beyond our knowledge to save us in ways we can't even begin to imagine. Throughout Moses' long life, he encourages us that following Christ is a lifelong journey. It requires us seeking God every day. And to know God more, we have the incredible example of Jesus. You see, everything Jesus did came through God. And every word he said was straight from the Father. But the Bible instructs us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, what we treasure most controls us. Do we choose God's eternal values over earthly values? If we are back to the passage, verse 34, we are seriously reminded of the consequences of sin. They affect our relationship with God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John 3:16, this is from the Message Bible. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point accusing fingers. He is telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in God is acquitted. You see, Christ's death and resurrection is the ultimate expression of God's character. It is the ultimate display of grace. The message of Christianity is not that we need to measure up so that God can accept us. The message of Christianity is that God accepts us even when we seem determined to mess things up. And life can be difficult. We have limited time. We are often under pressure. We may find ourselves in a season where it's a real struggle to have time to seek God. Or maybe we've been trying to read the Bible and pray, but nothing is happening. God knows all this. He understands. And be reassured, he still loves us, he continues to care for us, and he will never leave us. We've already heard that this morning. When I was preparing for today, I came across some recent research. And I've prayed a lot about this, and I really feel that it's right that I share this. You see, the study centred on Bible engagement. I wonder if we find it easy to read the Bible, or if it's something that we struggle to understand or to find time to do. But the Bible is really important. Absolutely everything we need to know about God is right here. It helps us to know God personally, alongside praying, where we talk to God and we listen. And the study was asking the question, why do so many people have Bibles, but so few read them? Since 2003, 400,000 people between the ages of 8 and 80 have been polled. And a key discovery has been found. You see, the life of someone who engages in Scripture four times a week looks radically different to the life of someone who isn't reading the Bible. So what difference does reading the Scriptures make? Feeling lonely drops by 30%. Anger issues drop by 32%. Bitterness in relationships drop by 40%. Addictions drop over 60%. And feeling spiritually stagnant drops 68%. And there were positive impacts on mental health, relationships, and overall well-being. But what blew my mind, what absolutely, I found it a bit speechless, really. If you read your Bible four times a week or more, sharing your faith increases by 200%. And discipling others jumps 230%. Can you imagine if we aim to spend more time seeking God, what changes we would see for ourselves, for our family, for this church, for our community? Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, we are all called to be disciples. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus tells his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I will always be with you to the ends of the earth. Jesus promising to be with us as God did with Moses. You see, the Bible is filled with examples of faithful followers, and there are many faithful followers here at Christ the King and in this room right now who already do a lot of this, praying for us, praying for the church, seeking God daily. And I am really grateful for you. You are an incredible example of Jesus. The church would not be the same without you. So what does all this mean for us this morning? Knowing God is the greatest gift we can ever have. Something amazing happens when we regularly spend time with him. Temptation begins to lose its power, and your mind, life, and heart are transformed. You see, the same God that Moses was talking to like a friend is the same God that we have access to. So do you want your relationship to be that where you are only known by God? Or do you want to truly and personally know our Heavenly Father? To know him personally, we must draw closer and be willing to listen when God speaks into our lives. Jesus tells us, if we believe, this message is not just ours, for ourselves. So let's encourage one another as we go from here to share with others what God's been doing in our lives, so that they too have the opportunity to hear about a loving Saviour who offers a lasting relationship with each one of us. Amen.